Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and with me today, I have got the CEO of Outspoken Media, Rhea Drysdale. How's it going, Rhea?
Great. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Now, Rhea, we've known each other for a long time. We've known each other since you lived in Jacksonville. And I think the first time we ever met, you came into the EngineWorks office and you were actually giving us, a lesson, showing us all about search engine optimization at the time. Is that the first time?
I think that was it. That was quite a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And I even recall then, I was like really impressed because Travis came over and said, she charges a lot for this. And I was like, well, she must be good. Let's see if we can do trade out or do something. And even back then, I could tell like you had a handle on your business and what you were doing. So congratulations on all your success since then.
Thank you. And I remember honestly just being in awe of EngineWorks and still am to this day and what you guys have built. And it's so exciting to see. So, and I think more important that we've got some really good talent that comes out of Jacksonville. So
yeah, we do. You know what? I'm Duval till I die. I'm not afraid to say it. I'll say it on the show. Well, the reason I wanted to get you on the show today was I have always been just a little puzzled and very much, admiring of what you've done at Outspoken Media. So could you explain for everybody listening a little bit about Outspoken Media and the service that you provide?
Sure. So Outspoken Media is a digital marketing agency, which is kind of a new name we're going, or a new, I guess, description we're going by lately as the internet has changed. We used to call ourselves internet marketing, but I think at this point people understand the internet a bit more, and we see that internet marketing as a term is dying when we look at Google Trends, which is kind of fascinating to watch. But digital is taking off in the sense that what we do is search engine optimization and reputation marketing, content strategy, which everyone seems to do a little bit of content these days. Also outreach in the sense of both reputation, which is very PR-like, and also for the purpose of link building, which is still really, really important to Google and SEO. But you have to do link building very carefully. So,
well, and the interesting part to me is the reputation management part.
Sure.
So search engine optimization, you and I would say Seer are probably the two search engine firms that I'm aware of that I hold in high regard. And in an industry that traditionally has taken a lot of lumps, you and Will's shop have always been really, really great. But the reputation management part makes so much sense because when a client gets in trouble, obviously there's going to be stuff all over the web. And I'm just curious, how did those two different services come into being at Outspoken Media?
Sure. So my background was in SEO, and I think because of that, at a certain point, I was actually changing careers early on. I did a little bit of job hopping, not intentionally, but just kind of following the direction of growth personally and professionally, and then changes in life. And I remember there was a job that I had, and in that job, they were really excited to have me join and have my name. And at a certain point, it wasn't working. And I decided to move. And when I moved, that name still ranked for that company. My name still ranked on their company page. And I remember they updated the name to be the new individual and their name, but they kept the URL, which was, again, still ranking for me. So if you would have told me, you'd find her.
Wow.
And I just thought, this is kind of strange, you know, are they intentionally trying to bank on some of my rankings for that? I don't know. And maybe it was just kind of programming on the programming side. They just didn't want to deal with a redirect or something, which seems so simple. But whatever reason, I said, well, I want to get rid of that. And so I figured out how to push that down for myself and worked on just improving my personal brand. And then in the new job I was in, they had somebody that was interested in figuring out how to do that. And I had a couple tips for them. And then it just started growing. And the next thing I knew, really reputation management is the foundation of Outspoken, where when we started the company, it was going to be with a number of different service offerings, SEO being the core. But at the same time, the Wall Street Journal had approached me and said, would you be willing to give us some information about this new area called reputation management? And I said, sure. The problem is I can't tell you anyone. Because of course, if you're going to manage someone's reputation online, you don't want anyone to ever know that you did. So, even more important than anything else. And in this case, I really couldn't share examples, but what I ended up doing was working with the chief technology editor of the Wall Street Journal, Julia Engwin, at the time. And she said, well, then let's work with my brand. And so we intentionally did a couple things over a few months. And right as the company was coming together, we'd only been in existence for a week. She contacted me and said, all right, the article's ready. I've seen what works. It took time, but definitely it did work. I've got the article coming out on a Friday. Which was great, except that no one knew our company existed yet. And so the next thing you know, we're outing ourselves in the Wall Street Journal that we now exist. And that was really incredible to basically take off in that instance where no one knew about us, and the next day we're in the Wall Street Journal. So that was pretty cool.
So what was the effect of that? Like when you first start out and within a week you're in the Wall Street Journal and they're saying, yes, this company was able to do this and this is a new field. Like did your inbox just fill up, your phone ring? Like how did that go down?
Oh yeah. We got dozens of inquiries. Not all were very qualified, you know, and I was brand new to this. I'd never run a company. I'd never done biz dev. I didn't know anything operationally. I didn't know how to manage a team. I just was good at SEO and reputation management. So at the time, you know, I don't know that we were in the best place to be prepared for the amount of leads that we got or how to professionally manage and handle them. You know, I'm still trying to figure that out to this day. I'm that person that I'm good at my trade, so I started a company, but I've had to learn through a lot of mistakes along the way. So I think the biggest thing then was just not quite knowing what to do with that amount of leads, but a few of them turned into really good clients, and definitely some good ORM clients that came out, some SEO. And my favorite clients are the folks that come to us that for one reason or another, something happened to them, and it just, there's something that is true and honest and heartbreaking about their story, and you want to help. And of course, you don't necessarily feel bad about taking their money, because sometimes I've had folks come to me, they don't have the money to do something about the problem, but it's really causing a problem to the point that they can't find a job, or, you know, they've been iced out of their company or something. We don't take on folks that have done something truly awful. And we don't take on folks that lie to us, which it seems obvious, but we've had folks that have contacted us saying, oh, I don't know who that company is that has all these negatives out there. They do have the same name as us, the same address, and when you call the phone number, I answer the phone, but that's not us.
Well, you know, thinking about it that way, you're not unlike a lawyer in that you have to be very careful about the cases you take on, because you're managing a reputation that may be qualified, right? It could be that that person deserves that reputation. So how do you go through that process to determine if somebody is a worthy candidate for your service?
Absolutely. The way that we do it is, do I feel good? Is there something in this that I feel good about, or do I have a problem with it? And as an entire company, we bring the lead to the team and say, does anyone feel uncomfortable? And if somebody does, then the question is this something that we're so uncomfortable with that we're not going to work on it at all, or just that you're not going to work on it, but we still ethically feel like the rest of us can? And we've had, I think, one or two situations where we brought someone on, even though one or two people had exception with it, and that was fine. And we've had many, many more instances where we just turn the lead down. And there are people we refer work to where if it's not the right fit, we don't feel comfortable, we can still send it to somebody. I've got some folks that will work on pretty much anything. But even in some instances, we feel that that reputation is deserved because you haven't done anything to fix the problem, or you're just trying to cover it up. You know, you can't fix a reputation if you continue to contribute to the erosion of that. So.
Right. It would just be smoke and mirrors otherwise. You're just constantly trying to shift stuff around. So when somebody shows up, are most of your leads on fire? Are they like really in trouble when they show up? And how does that impact the culture in the day to day?
Yeah. It's usually the ones that are on fire, you can't help too much because it doesn't happen quickly. It's not going to happen overnight. And I say that knowing that yesterday we actually got a negative cleared for a client that contacted us 2 months ago, and they'd had a couple of negative mentions online, and they had already cleared up the one big one, but this was someone that had syndicated the original article. They're not even around anymore. This the negative was a misprint and had been retracted, but that story had already gone out and everyone had picked it up. So we were able to get the syndicated versions taken down, and now the problem no longer exists. So sometimes you can do that and you can do it pretty quickly, but more often than not, it's a slow process. It takes months, just like SEO, to get started, and you have to have a lot of assets available. You have to be able to put something out there. We've worked with companies where they'll come to us and say, we've got a problem, but we're going to go public, and we are in a period of freeze for the next 3 months. We literally can't say anything anywhere digitally or publicly, right? We can't even talk to like our grandma about this. So there's a lot of strategizing. There's a lot of putting things in place, building things up, and then when you're ready, launching it and knowing that it's going to take time. I think the quote is, you know, you can, I'm terrible at the quote. I'm so tired. Sorry, new mom brain. But you can destroy your reputation in a minute, and it takes on average 4 years to repair. So with SEO, it tends to work faster than that in a few months. And I feel badly for those folks who do come to us in a fire. We try to do what we can, but it definitely comes at a higher cost because you're working faster and more aggressively, trying to coordinate with different departments if it's a brand. We had one person that came to us once that, without going into details, they were in a security situation that the FBI was involved and were having to go and help identify and monitor mentions online that would actually endanger them and their family. And that was really interesting. And we're actually translating different mentions in different languages due to the situation. We've had politicians running for office and folks like that. I don't know, I'm kind of rambling a bit here, but I think that every situation is unique is the one thing that I've learned. And even the ones that feel like they're on fire, there's always time to stop and think, because you're probably in the situation because something happened where someone wasn't thinking, and you really have to create a game plan.
So from everything that you're saying, it sounds like there's very much almost like an agency client privilege where you don't share what's going on, and that's understood. So when you do get in these new business situations, I'm curious, how do you present what you've done if you can't present who you've done it for? And it's obvious. And I think one of the interesting things here is, you know, it's a specialization and it's differentiating you. So what does that new business pitch look like?
Sure. In many instances, people come to us from word of mouth, or maybe they found us online. The leads that find us just through search typically don't pan out as much. They usually go with some of the cheaper offerings that are out there, as reputation.com and I think Reputation Defender and other places. And those services are good if you're just doing a little bit of search results management, where you just kind of need to put some things out there, maybe as an individual. But if you've got a much heavier problem, you do need a more custom approach. And so that typically comes from word of mouth or a referral, someone that is familiar with our work or has seen us speak at a conference and we've met them in person. Those are always the best leads by far. And especially with reputation management, it's a very sensitive subject. The other person that's involved is going to feel very vulnerable and worried. They need to know that they're in good hands. So we don't have a pitch deck that says, here's everybody we've done this for. Instead, we say, we'll put you in touch with a couple people and you can talk to them about what the results look like and the situation that they had, if they're comfortable with it.
That makes a lot of sense. And then you get that real third party endorsement. And I know without sharing anything that you've got some really big brands that you help. So one of the things I was wondering about is when they first come to you, if they don't have a need, or say they have a need for you to do maybe social listening, I don't even know if that's what it would be called, but just to keep an ear out for things that might be coming through, what other services do you offer in addition to that management?
Sure. So We like the idea of calling it reputation marketing. That's kind of new. I say an idea because we're floating it out there to see if it'll kind of pick up a little bit, in the sense that reputation management is, okay, something negative has occurred and now we need to go out and manage it. But the best way to help prevent a problem is to get ahead of it. And so a lot of the times we have brands that come to us saying, well, we don't really know if there's a problem, but we want to put something in place to make sure that if there was, that we're protected. And so that's a lot of proactive reputation marketing. And the thought there is that you're creating content and assets that are available, that are very powerful, that rank well for your brand or other terms that you're worried about. And so there's content strategy that goes into that, content creation. There's often social strategy and social promotion. There's the outreach kind of PR side where you have to get that content then linked and promoted and mentioned. And then in addition to that, of course, there's the optimization. So you get into technical and making sure that everything is well optimized and ranking well. The other thing that I would note is that we also get into a lot of big picture brand strategy type stuff. And what I mean there is you have to really think about who you are and how you want to be known. And that's what your reputation is. And what we get into a lot of times is customer service departments. Tell us what kinds of responses you're getting back from people. Are they saying positive or negative things? The things that are negative, what types of complaints on average, and what's the percent breakdown? And then once we start to get into that, we identify, okay, well, that's a billing issue, or this is a product issue, or that has to do with an advertising method that you're using. Is this something that realistically is going to get fixed? If so, what's the time frame? In the meantime, what's the message that needs to be communicated to what stakeholders? How are we going to do it? And so we start to kind of align everything and look at scripts and look at training internally to support that, to stop the problem, so that we can then figure out how to market the positive.
So preventative maintenance in a way.
Exactly.
And when you start to share this with a new client, especially some of the bigger ones who I imagine are the ones that are coming, because I can't imagine smaller brands or smaller clients are going to be this proactive. When you get into their business model and start helping them in that way, there must be a lot of hoops you have to jump through from a legal perspective or things like that. So do you often, they come back and say, we need you to get this signed and do this type of, you know, non-disclosures that I imagine are like really big?
100%. Absolutely. But we've had lawyers contact us and have us sign things before we even know who we're talking to.
So the other thing that strikes me is when you're doing the preventative stuff, even, this is a very 24/7 type of job. Because somebody's not just going to get pissed off from 9 to 5, right? It's probably going to be after a few beers on a Saturday night when something didn't ship and then they go off. So how do you manage that and still have your personal time and your company's personal time when things could happen anytime?
Yeah, so in that sense, we're not an outsourced customer service or social management team. And that's important to note is a long time ago, we tried to do that and said, okay, yeah, let's manage all the social for our clients. We do have one client that we do that for at the moment. But even in their situation, we're only responsible for a small section of their social, knowing that there are many other departments listening for different things with different tools and different agencies involved. And so, ideally, you've got something in place as a brand where you've got an actual team that's dedicated to this using an enterprise tool, and you've divvied out time zones to different folks, and they're monitoring and watching it. And so we help our clients form that team, train them, select the right tool, make sure that they have the right process and language involved in how to respond. But we're not going to actively take that on ourselves. We are a small team. And really, the money doesn't make sense to pay our agency what we charge for that, for us to physically just listen if something were to happen. It doesn't make sense. So you can definitely hire for that or contract it out much cheaper. You know, you're not, ideally as a brand, you're not outsourcing that incredibly big task to an intern, which I've heard a lot of people say is, oh, put the intern on social. And I think we're past those days. That feels like 5 years ago, but I still see brands that do that. There are a lot of executive assistant services out there that offer, will respond to your emails, will, you know, go get office supplies, and will manage your social. And that's terrifying.
No, that's truly terrifying. And so this is really enlightening to understand that you're offering a holistic solution, including adding a new department really to the existing structure of a client. So how often have you gone through that process and had the client basically say, I think we've got it now. Thank you so much, Outspoken, for helping us get this in place.
Every single time. So we don't have anyone that we've done reputation management work for who's still a client. And that's kind of interesting to note, is that we're not trying to keep you as a client. We want to solve the problem and get out as quickly as possible, because that means we've done our job well. From a business model standpoint, that's not ideal, right? Agencies love retainers. So sometimes I struggle with that a little bit, because I'd like to have a nice retainer client. But we do offer other services that if it works out, then we can go into other areas like SEO and content strategy and creation. And we have an incredible team that puts together just wonderful pieces of content and outreach. And so the majority of our bread and butter does come from that type of work. But on the reputation management side, we do get those leads. And that's always accounted for about 10 to 25% of our business. But it's not the big money business, but it's the business that we love. And again, we're doing it because we want to solve the problem. And for us, it's fascinating and creative and interesting every single time. And it's kind of what we live for. But if we did our job, then we shouldn't still have you as a client.
Maria, thank you so much for shedding some light on this truly innovative business model. I can only imagine the time it's taken to get it refined into a point that it's running as smooth as it is. So thanks for sharing with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And everybody else, tune back in next week, and we will talk to you then.